We've been looking this week at borders, real, imagined, fraught. Yesterday, we heard from a mother whose son was killed in a wrong-way drunk driving accident by an undocumented immigrant who'd crossed the border illegally several times despite being deported. She wants a wall. Lots of discussion about that conversation at herenow.org. Today, someone who's crossed the border illegally once and hopes to stay. Now, the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy has changed the landscape. Recently, Iraq War veteran Timo Juarez complained bitterly to the military newspaper Stars and Stripes after his wife, the mother of his two children, was deported 20 years after she was brought into the U.S. as an 18-year-old. DACA, the program that protects children under 15 who came within certain years from deportation, was considered in courts this week. The Supreme Court may be called back into session before the summer ends to decide its fate. That protection could end. Let's bring in Marlon Portillo. He crossed the border at 15, 12 years ago. Since then, he's worked and gone to school here in the Boston area. He joins us in the studio. Marlon, why did you leave your family and your native El Salvador?
That was a very hard decision. I was 15 years old, and I always want a higher education.
Higher education.
My desire to higher education, that was the main reason why I moved here.
And why couldn't you have education there?
Because I am not from a wealthy family. For me, it was almost impossible. My parents, they were struggling.
And I should ask, a lot of the people that we're seeing leave El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala now are fleeing violence.
Now it's completely different because in my town, it was a little safe 12 years ago. Now everything is completely different. But so many similarities, too.
But for you, it was about opportunity.
Opportunity, yes, that was the main reason.
So you decide to leave. You find a coyote, someone who can help you travel. How much did you have to pay?
$7,000. That was a lot of money.
Where'd you get $7,000?
After I got here, I paid back.
Oh, so you worked here
yes.
to pay them back. Okay.
Yeah.
So you set off. How long a journey is it from El Salvador to the border?
For me, it took 25 days. It was a long journey. It was pretty traumatic, hard, but I did it.
Well, how dramatic, how hard? What were some of the things?
First of all, it was a long, so many days, you know. Sometimes in cars, sometimes in buses, sometimes walking, sometimes without enough food, enough water.
Did you ever question your decision? Did you ever think I should go back?
Yes. There was one moment by crossing Mexico. My friend, they were caught by the authorities of Mexico.
They were caught by authorities?
They were caught, yeah. I was the only one who escaped. That was traumatic because I get along, I got lost, I got no friends.
You literally ran away from
yes,
authorities?
Yes, but if I go back, it's going to be way more difficult to come back again.
Were you, when you were crossing the desert in Mexico, were you sleeping out in the desert? Were you?
Yeah, sometimes we take a nap because we only move forward in nighttime because during the day it's very hot.
Too hot. So when you travel at night to avoid the heat of the day. When you got to the border, I'm assuming, Marlon, that you crossed illegally. You couldn't present yourself for asylum. You weren't fleeing violence.
Yeah.
What's that like to cross a border illegally?
For me, now I understand it better. I feel like I did it wrongly.
You did
in the wrong way. But
when
I was there at 15, I didn't know much about it. And obviously, for people like me in my country, it's very difficult to get a visa. That is like a privilege only for the rich people, you know, for the politicians.
So you know now what you did was wrong, but you
it was
also,
wrong.
But you also know that you couldn't have done it the right way because
oh,
you couldn't have gotten
I didn't
a visa.
Have a choice.
Talk about that moment.
I was like shaking. I didn't know what's going to happen. We were starving. We were very thirsty. I could be caught.
You could be caught.
Yeah. All my feeling was like in a shock, you know.
In shock.
Yeah.
Did you climb a fence?
A small fence.
A small fence.
Yeah.
You have crossed that border, that fence. Did you have a moment with that?
Yeah, you know, suddenly you are in United States territory, you know, like a few minutes ago you were in Mexico territory. So that moment is like, well, but now it's a long way to go through.
Many other hurdles, right?
Yeah, many other struggles. It's hard.
So you made your way to Boston to join a much older brother and then worked for a couple of years to pay back the coyote?
I worked 2 years.
So that puts you at around 17, almost 18.
Something like that, yeah.
Then you decided to go to high school?
Yes.
Why?
Because I had the opportunity. I was here already.
You have a goal and you have to get it.
Yeah,
my goals. Well, you went on to Bunker Hill Community College, got your associate's degree. You're now at UMass Boston, where you want to get a BA in history, hopefully become a middle or high school teacher?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's my my goal.
These past 12 years, I mean, Marlon, you're sitting here telling us how you came into the country illegally.
Now it's a little easier to talk, but like a couple years ago, I couldn't be talking here this story.
No.
It's so hard because some people understand you, but some people don't. Some people judge you.
Well, what about those? And I'm sure some of our listeners are saying, wait a minute. We feel badly that a 15-year-old wants a higher education. You can't get it in your home country. But you did something illegal. And what do you think of the voices? We heard one yesterday. A woman who said, you have to do it legally.
Sometimes it's not like easy to do things rightly. If I am like a rich family, a politician, I can be in the plane legally. But, you know, that's kind of a privilege for the wealthy.
What do you do now? Are you planning on becoming a citizen? How does this work?
Now I am DACA. I qualify for that program.
So you qualified for DACA, the Deferred Action Program. It gives undocumented children 15 and under who came to the U.S. within a certain time frame, protection from deportation, a way to work. You just made it in those years to qualify.
And that opened the window for me. If you don't have a Social Security, if you don't have like a green card, to go to college is way more expensive. It's like 3 times more expensive. So when I got my DACA, I got my work permit, I got my Social Security, so the window opened for me.
You got a Social Security, you got a work permit.
Yes.
And as you say, a window opened for you. But what do you say to people who say, still, you came here illegally and maybe even should go back? Do you worry about your stability here?
Yeah, obviously, I'm very worried, you know, but anything can happen. If DACA ends, my situation will get a little difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I am confident something beneficial could happen, but if doesn't happen, you know, I am ready for anything. And I already fight throughout my life so many hard situations, hard challenge. I'm not going to stop here.
Well, what else would you say to the critics?
We're talking here about people, human beings. People going to do anything to put food in their table, in the family table. People going to do anything in order to survive. Because some cases, the people are running away, trying to save their own life, facing violence, facing unemployment. There's many issues.
You're saying you'd say to the critics, you'd do the same thing.
You may do it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you will, but you may do it. In order to understand this point, you also need to go to the roots of the issue. Poverty, violence, unemployment, social conflict. Back there in the 80s, 90s, El Salvador, my country, were facing internal conflict. Because in some way, United States support the military government.
You're talking about the 1980s. There was what most call a dirty war in El Salvador, a right-wing government against Marxist guerrillas. The U.S. supported the military in that battle. Thousands lost their lives during a civil war. Paramilitaries and death squads were trained by the United States. You're nodding, yes.
And they are like somehow responsible for creating these problems.
So you're saying that some of the social problems we're seeing now, forcing people to come to the U.S., the U.S. government was involved in.
Yes, that's correct.
I'm wondering, too, if you would also say now you're determined to give back, to contribute.
Yeah. If I get my higher education here, I will work hard to support my community, to support the United States that I embrace as my home.
Do you hope to be an American, a U.S. citizen someday?
Yeah.
What would that mean to you?
Opportunities. I mean, I grew up here. This is my home, you know, after many years, basically half of my life in the United States, basically my life is over here.
When you watch the fight over the border now and building a wall and separating families, and also hear from, you know, we had a woman on whose son was killed by an undocumented immigrant, wrong way, drunken driver. When you watch all of this, what do you think?
It broke my heart.
Yeah,
I understand, you know, what happened to that lady. But, you know, you cannot label everyone like that. You know, there's evil people like in all cultures. You cannot be judging undocumented just because one single case.
That's Marlon Portillo, who crossed the border into the U.S. 12 years ago as a 15-year-old, and says he understands now that what he did was wrong, but felt he had no choice. Marlon, thank you so much.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
And you can hear all our stories, including our conversation with that mom calling for people like Marlon to be deported after her son was killed by an undocumented immigrant, at hereandnow.org, where we'd love your thoughts. Hereandnow.org.